So good evening. I'm so excited. And it's Tuesday.
It's Tuesday.
Tuesday, I always say, is my favorite time of the week. And 9 o'clock is my favorite hour. It's like my witching hour. It's like, I just like come out. And tonight, I'm extremely excited. I sound like a kid, but I don't care. I'm only 5. I turned 55 yesterday. I have a cold.
Yes!
And, happy birthday!
Thank you. I got the flu for my birthday. And so when I say I'm 55, so 5 plus 5 is 10 divided by 2. I'm only 5 years old. So I can get as excited as I want to. So tonight I have the cast, writers, producers, actors, and I'm getting chills from Brooklyn Blue Sky. Let me tell you, I can say kids. Like, these kids are taking over, right? They're taking over this medium. There is nowhere they can't go on the World Wide Web with Brooklyn Blue Sky. And we're going to talk about another one of your projects, King Esther. I always want to say Easter. King Esther. But first of all, we're going to talk about Brooklyn Blue Sky, and we're going to have Dewey Jared, which is,
getting all warm and fuzzy.
I know. Dewey and I met 6 years ago.
6 years ago.
I don't even remember how we met. We just met.
I think you came to my screening.
Yeah, I came to your screening.
With the New Voices in Black Cinema.
Uh-huh.
You came to that and we met and I loved your accent.
Right? And so, I saw one of your first features.
Yes.
And it was awesome.
Thank you.
And did that get to Netflix or anything like that?
It got
as well?
To Redbox.
Yeah.
It went Netflix. I know I saw Redbox it online nationwide, somewhere. Believe mm-hmm. it or not.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And Dewey came here. You came here with a mission.
I did.
Yeah.
I wasn't playing.
Nope. He wasn't playing, and you were nervous and scared. And,
yes.
But you know what? That's all part of the course, right? You're nervous and absolutely. Scared because you're excited and you don't want to fail. And there's no such thing as failure. So today we're going to talk to Dewey about their passion, and we're going to talk about Brooklyn Blue Sky, and we're going to talk about all these projects. And I'm just going to let them have the floor. They can say whatever they want to say. And it sounds good to me. So I'm just going to take it away and ask each of you to just introduce yourself and tell us a little tiny bit about yourself so we can get to the meat and potatoes of what the projects is that you're up to.
So I'm Dewey Jared. I'm the writer, director, producer of Brooklyn Blue Sky. So that's who I am and that's what I do.
Mm-hmm. Come on, you can say a little bit more than that.
Say more?
Yeah.
No, there's so much time. Okay, there's so many people.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, hi everyone. I'm Janelle Simone, and I had the pleasure of playing the lead actress in Dewey's latest project, Brooklyn Blue Sky. I played the role of Skylar. Mm-hmm. I'm so blessed to have worked with this incredible creative that he is. I just can't believe, as writer, producer, director, friend, actor, all that good stuff mm-hmm. in one, Dewey's that guy.
That's right.
Love it.
Awesome. Welcome.
Hi, my name is Adiaga Faiza, and I play Dr. Simone in Brooklyn Blue Sky. Uh-huh. And this is a time for creatives. This is definitely a time for creatives.
Yes.
And I'm really blessed to be a part of this project. Quality content and necessary for this time.
Absolutely.
Hello, everyone. My name is my name is Michael Aloide. I play Blue in Brooklyn Blue Sky. This project changed my life as a creative, as an actor, as a person, and I'm happy to be a part of it. Yes. And I'm from London.
You are?
Yeah.
Whereabouts?
I moved when I was 4, but uh-huh. I lived in Edmonton
uh-huh.
for a while, and then I moved here.
Yeah. So. I'm from Southeast London, Broccoli, mate.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Hi, everybody. I'm Nicolette Ellis. I play the role of Cherise. I am so blessed to be a part of this amazing cast, crew. Everyone's so talented. The story is so impactful and very inspiring. So thank you, Dewey and Raven, and everybody a part of this for making this experience beautiful.
Awesome. So Dewey, tell me, like, how did you come about this, you know, story? I mean, I'm watching it on TV. I'm not really a big TV watcher, but I did grab a few episodes before I got here. And I find that, you know, I'm a lot older than you guys. And I find that it's telling a story of millennials. Is it about a millennial crew? Or is it really about everyone who has gone through a certain space in their life?
Yeah, I do think there's threads of humanity that are inside of it. It is generational. Mm-hmm. Probably the, you know, a little bit older millennials. They're not like 21, 22 mm-hmm. years mm-hmm. old. But it was really kind of a love letter to the creative generation. Mm-hmm. You know, having seen Issa Rae and Ava DuVernay and Donald Glover all do so well as far as creating content. Mm-hmm. And then so many young creators that are out here with web series like Mistake and Situationship. Mm-hmm. And I just felt like I needed to get back into the game. Lesson Before Love took a lot out of me, mm-hmm. Emotionally, spiritually, and so this was the first thing that I've directed after Lesson Before Love, actually. So I wanted to approach telling stories from a really fresh perspective.
And how it seemed to me that the episodes were really short.
Yes. So a web series is interesting because a lot of people kind of deal with that because they're like, why was it so short? But web series are just like a television series, except the episodes are much, much shorter. So a lot of times they're going to be anywhere from 2 to maybe 10 minutes long. And so we kind of stayed right in that 8 minute lane for each of our 8 episodes.
Right. And what does it take to make an 8 minute episode? I mean, because come on, like 8 minutes?
It's a lot. But the interesting thing is we actually planned for it. We were very strategic about how we planned. So we actually did the entire series in 4 days.
how many hours? 4 days and how many hours?
Believe it or not, me and Patrick actually talked about this not too long ago. We never went over schedule. Mm-hmm. So we were slated to maybe end at like 10 p.m., but we always ended like a couple of hours early because there was just really nothing else to get. But It really speaks to the high level of not just the planning and the foresight, but also these incredible actors. And if I could just say something about each of these people,
Go ahead.
I really haven't gotten to talk, you know, about them the way that I would like to. Mm-hmm. But this is an exceptionally special group of people. And I know that becomes very like, you know, standard because people say that all the time, like, oh, this is the best thing I've ever done. But no, this was exactly what I needed and when I needed it. And
so it was like a Kickstarter.
It was amazing. Janelle, to me, is the most naturally gifted actress that I've ever worked with. I'm talking about just purity of the gift. She just has a gift that that very few actresses have. Michael, believe it or not, I wanted to cast Michael just off of his headshot. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Like, and I knew when I saw his website, michaeloyaday.com, I think there's an accent or something up in there. But
I'm glad you knew said it, because I would have liked Aloyaday.
But it's a hyphen in the website, I think. Yeah. Okay, so
michael-aloyaday.com.
That's it. It's a dash. He had a perfect essence. Adiaga, we wanted to cast her immediately when we first saw her because she had a spirit about her that was mm-hmm. undeniable. And Nicolette had a spark that was absolutely incredible. Mm-hmm. And the beautiful thing about this is their hearts met our hearts right where we needed to meet mm-hmm. because making the project is just one facet. Mm-hmm. You also need support getting into festivals, which we weren't expecting to do, getting into BET, which we weren't expecting to do.
You guys won awards, too,
well,
right?
Yeah, like, we won
tell
really
us about
big awards.
I'm going to put that down here. Want to know eyes. Go ahead.
Yeah, so this is a very, very special group who's going to go, you know, much farther than any of them actually really know.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So, please, you're going to have to help me with your names again, because as soon as you said them, they went right out of my head. I should get labels later. Go ahead.
Nicolette.
Yes.
Wait.
I want to hear about your role in the play.
Yes. Okay. So, Cherise. Ooh, she's a firecracker. Mm-hmm.
Is there any difference between her and you? Because you seem like a firecracker as well.
I think Cherise is just very nosy. I mean, I feel like it goes right to our hashtag as well, like shade responsibly. Mm-hmm. Like, especially in the episode that I'm in with everybody, like that episode with the black car revoked, like us all, we were all shading, like mm-hmm. especially Blue. And, like, it was out the blue, and with Sky, mm-hmm. like everyone was so shady in that whole episode. So like, I feel like the energy of Charisse from that and feeling it from every single person in that room was just like impactful. So yeah, that's Charisse.
And so, like, how did you connect? Because it didn't seem like you took a long time to do auditions. And
There was no time.
What I heard from what you said is like spirit to spirit, right? There was action, there was a spirit, there was that connection, and you just kind of knew and you took it.
Yes, absolutely. And really, not to cut Nicolette off, but that's really what got Janelle hired. Uh-huh. Janelle auditioned for another role, and we enjoyed her audition. I mean, she's an incredible actor, but we were like, well, we haven't really seen what we needed to see as far as, you know, Skylar's our concern.
Right.
So I just went out there. She just so happened to still be out there. And then you tell what happened next.
So I was putting on my coat, and I actually auditioned for the role of Giselle. Uh-huh. So Dewey comes out of the room and he's saying, Giselle, did she leave? So my back is to Dewey. So then Raven Drummond, she comes out and she goes, oh, she's right there. And he goes, can you read for another role? I said, yeah, sure. So I take off my coat. He gives me about four pages. And so
of dialogue.
So it was funny because Dewey was like, well, who's Giselle? And she's like, that's the role. And he was like, what's your name again? I said Janelle. And then three actors went in before me, and then they came back out, and I said I was ready. And I walked into the room, and I put the script down.
She put the script down.
She memorized it. Oh, my God. She memorized four pages of text. Me, I can barely memorize your name sitting here. You just told me. Okay,
mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
It was about maybe 20 minutes. And then I put the script down, and literally Dewey was like, oh, come on. And it was just so perfect because it was easy for me because the writing was just so
crisp.
Yes. It was natural. It was almost as if it was written for me exactly how I would think it, how I would say it. So it wasn't hard for me to go back and forth in dialogue.
Right.
And it was just amazing. And immediately when I put the character on, it just was like
fit like a glove.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I was giving them pages the day before.
I just want to say before we go to break that the episode that I watched is like you walk into, he's like leaving to go somewhere, and you're at the front door, or you're just there. Yeah. Like you just showed up. Like really? You just walked into the man's house and just showed up.
Exactly. Yeah,
that was like whoa. Like many of us dare, but very few do. And if they do, they are completely nuts. So we're going to be back in 2 minutes. We're going to take a break, and we're going to continue our conversation with the cast of Brooklyn Blue Sky. Talk to you soon.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday, 9 to 10 Eastern Time, and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential. Live life your way on talkradio.nyc.
Do you want to connect with?
Are you an entrepreneur or intrapreneur looking to build your following?
Welcome to our show.
Follow Me Friday with Joan
and Priya.
Tune in every Friday at noon Eastern
on talkradio.nyc.
We're your digital connectors.
Woo woo! What's that?
Talking Alternative Radio. 24 hours a day.
So we're back. This is Noreen Sumter on Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way. And we are with the cast of Brooklyn Blue Sky. So we are now going to speak to, it's Ade.
Ade Agafaiza.
Yep. Okay, that's what she said. So girl, turn it out. What do they call you for short?
Adi.
Okay. Yeah, and we're going to stay with Adi for now until I learn to do that.
All right. So you say you want to learn about
shade
responsibly.
Yes.
I think it's what my grandmother used to say is nice, nasty, being nice, nasty. You know, you don't want to cut somebody down to the white meat, but you still want to say what you need to say, but still leave a little niceties to it, but still get to the root of it. Shading.
It's like, oh, she's so sweet.
But not really.
Yeah. Okay. Got it. So to share with me what your role is and like what's the experience like for you?
Dr. Simone. You know, there's a lot of layers to Dr. Simone. Hopefully see later down the line. But Dr. Simone, I would say, is full of surprises. She is Blue's anchor because she'll tell him what he needs to hear.
Mm-hmm.
She is the epitome of shading responsibly. Mm-hmm. However, she still doesn't have too much of a censor either, in a sense, you know? Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
That's, and what kind that's of is she a therapist?
She's a pediatrician.
Pediatrician. Okay. Because you say doctor, but I didn't know if she was a therapist or, she's a pediatrician.
Yeah.
Big babies or real babies?
She's burping babies and saving lives. Particularly Blue's.
Because Blue's a big baby.
So go ahead, Blue. Yes. It's your turn, Michael. Who is Blue?
Blue is the man. Uh-huh. First and foremost, no. Blue is a mid-20s marketing executive that is figuring things out for himself.
Uh-huh.
That's stuck in a place between going after what he is supposed to do by the standards of society and going after what he wants to do in his heart. And Skylar shows up in his life again.
Mm-hmm. But aren't you with, you're with somebody, right?
Yes.
You're with
Giselle the Gazelle.
Right. Okay. And she's a little weird.
Yeah. She's.
I mean, like, you guys took about 50,000 pictures just before you left the house. I'm like.
She loves herself. She has a lot of self-confidence. She's a model. And she supports Blue.
I see that.
Yeah. She's very supportive of him. And Blue's at an interesting place in his life where he doesn't know what he wants. And he knows what he wants, but he doesn't know how to get it. So, yeah, Blue's a complex black man in America.
So now here's the part that kind of threw me for a loop. There was a baby.
Yes.
And there's a baby out there in the universe that you don't know where this baby is.
Right.
And you really don't know what's, it's Skylar's baby, right?
Yeah.
And
maybe.
And maybe.
We don't know.
Right?
Unless
We don't know.
Okay. But because I was like, you were talking about this baby. You were like, were really emotional about this baby.
Yeah.
And I think that's, for me, my interpretation is that's what's gotten you a little bit off kilter.
Yeah.
When she walks back into your life.
Because I think, like, it's been 8 years since they've seen each other, or so many years since they've seen each other. And in an episode, Blue did say that he felt something was out there for him.
So you're mid-20s, right? 8 years.
Late 20s,
so what age were you when
we were in college when we met.
And so you were in college when she had this baby?
If she had the baby.
Oh, that's right. If she had the baby.
Is it her baby? Is it our baby?
Is
there's
there
a, baby.
A baby. Oh, there is a baby.
There's a baby. That was birth. No, but yeah, and Blue, and I think that's one of the things that really, over the course of that time, made Blue that much more complex. Mm-hmm. You know, he didn't know, but he felt something was out there.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what's so funny? In like we're having this conversation, and even though I know it is a show.
Yeah.
There's a sense of tenseness in my body when you're talking about this baby. You guys had this baby and you're like confused whether it's here, there, or wherever, right? It's like all of a sudden I feel like, oh my God, this is real.
Because it is, though. That's the thing.
It
this is so many people's stories. And and so many people who look like Blue, who look like Sky, who look like Charisse, who look like Dr. Simone, mm-hmm. who have the same upbringing or have different upbringing. This is their story. Mm-hmm. That's what's beautiful about it. And I think that's what made the project so special, because we didn't come to it and just read words on a paper. Mm-hmm. We came to it and really understood those words and felt those words. And yeah.
And so this is a question for all of you. What is the experience that you want to leave with your viewers?
Well, I know for me, just from creating it from the onset, I really wanted them to find a thread of humanity. Mm-hmm. Because even as we were talking about the child, while it feels so significant to you, it's because it's really just a metaphor for whatever your dreams or your goals are.
Right.
And they shared the same dream and the same goal at the same time, and it was born at this one specific moment. And for me and Raven, we had a dream and we had a goal that we had met years before we had come together and done this show. So it was really metaphorical. In a sense, and even what Skylar's character is going through is also metaphorical. It's for the poison that we put within our bodies that stop us from achieving our goals that mm-hmm. we want to, you know. And so it was a lot of metaphors and similes, and these characters were able to get, but hopefully they can find that thread of humanity no matter what age group. Mm-hmm. I had an interview today with a publication, and she said she found out about it from her 55-year-old uncle.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe, you know, I'm 55, so maybe five is the number. Yeah, that's
the thing. 55 in California. She said they were at Thanksgiving, and he was like, have you seen this show, Brooklyn Blue Sky? No, he really said, she was like, no, what are you talking about? And then she watched it and found it and thought it was unbelievably amazing. And that's how I got to do an interview today. So it is connected, and I hope it's that thread of humanity that everybody kind of finds with inside of it.
What do you want? What do you want your viewers to say about you? What do you want them to say about you? Because there's something that you want them to say about you that they will say about you that will have people get inspired and sparked and start to look for you just like she did, just like I did. I mean, and somehow, even though the episodes are so short, they're so impactful, because seriously, I did not remember that I remembered all of this stuff. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want them to say, what more does he have to say? Mm-hmm. You know, because we left... Even if when you watch the series, it really leaves a lot of open doors while it still kind of gives you context. Mm-hmm. Because what we have to say is, it really, with Brooklyn Blue Sky, is so much more than what we've been able to say. This really was just a very short introduction into these characters, into their lives, into their journeys. Mm-hmm. So hopefully, you know, those opportunities come forward and we're able to add to that Brooklyn Blue Sky narrative. If not that, we'll add with another narrative,
right?
Which we'll talk about later on.
So let me ask another question. You know, I'm going to call the length of the series Keep It Simple, Sweetheart, right? You cool. can say Keep It Simple, whatever, but I'm going to keep it simple, Sweetheart. It's like little spurts of information that gets propelled into us, and we are seeking more. Now, if there's an opportunity for you to expand this show, maybe have it be a feature, would this be a feature, or could this be a feature? Would you want this to be a feature, or is it just the way it is because it's just the way it is?
To be honest, I mean, we would all say yes. Uh-huh. We would want this to be so much more, but it really kind of isn't. It right. is specifically what it is, because the way we constructed this series and the way we constructed the show, yes, we could draw more out of it if we wanted to, but we're really trying to tell a specific story at this time.
Right.
And one of the things that I've noticed, even with all these, because they're more than just actors. I mean, there's poets here, there's writers, there's artists, there's other filmmakers that are sitting here too. Mm-hmm. We have so much more to say than Brooklyn Blue Sky. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This is a beautiful journey, and we hope we get to complete this as its own journey. But what we all have to say is so much greater than what we were able to just say in that 1 hour that you get to spend with this, with the series.
So we're going to, in the second half of this show, we're going to talk about your new
yes.
project.
Yes.
So what I would like to do is, what's one, you know, sentence or so that you would like to give to the people that are online watching, and so that they can walk away and dig this up for themselves? What would you like to say to them?
About Brooklyn Blue Sky?
Yeah, Brooklyn Blue Sky.
The acting will blow you away.
Okay.
The acting will blow you away, and the beauty of it will blow you away. And what's even more...
It is
more,
quite beautiful. The colors are beautiful.
Yeah, that's Patrick. That's absolutely Patrick. It's... I would love for you to see what a few young people who believed in each other and themselves were able to do in 4 days.
Uh-huh. You know, it's pretty amazing.
I would love them to witness it.
One last thing. And you said that 4 days, right? So when you did something in 4 days, tight, crisp, like a Granny Smith apple, biting into it. It's crisp. It's moist. It's wet. It's juicy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you really think you need a year, 6 months to create a movie? Doing what you just did, do you think people still need that long length of time to create movies?
Yes, because there were some disadvantages we had from not being able to have the resource of money. Uh-huh. We weren't able to pay them like they deserve to be. What we filmed is what we presented. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes you want to get extras. There's a process of audition, rehearsals, and all those sort of kind of things that really make the work better.
Mm-hmm.
But this was their wardrobes, pretty much, other than a few things that we picked up at H&M. You know, well, and we won't be going there anymore.
So you need stylists. So yeah, exactly.
I'm at Uniqlo.
So basically, there's a shout out for stylists who are out there who would like to have their things seen, their clothes seen, and all that good stuff. So it's an opportunity for people to advertise their stuff. Get with Dewey.
Yes.
Yeah, never know. We got another thing coming up, which we're going to get to in a minute.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So, all right, I lost my train of thought, but in promoting you. But in terms of, they do need more time. You do need time. And also, it being a web series, is there a way for you guys to get funding?
Well, we did get funding. Not funding in that literal sense. You know, me, Raven, and another producer, Antoine, we came together and funded this initial effort for very little money. But we did get picked up by BET.
Okay.
So so please go to BET and tell them or write them emails and let them know, because they do have the resources to be able to make this what we all believe that it could truly be. And so we're just going to continue to stay hopeful that BET finds value in stories told by us right here in Brooklyn. They found value in us enough to bring us to the network, which we're all unbelievably thankful for and happy about. But we have so much to say, but we have to rely on BET and the wonderful people over there to give us that opportunity.
Awesome. That definitely makes me feel really, really good. I love that. Anything you'd like to say, Nicolette?
Oh.
We've got 2 minutes. We're going to bust it out, and then we're going to get into the second half. Go ahead.
I just feel like everyone should watch Brooklyn Blue Sky, definitely, because of the storytelling, the characters. I promise you know a story like this, or you know somebody going through this.
Mm-hmm.
Each and every character I know personally in my personal life, so I feel like it is a very necessary show right now. So head over to BET Digital right now.
Awesome. Michael?
I echo everything Nicolette just said, and I want people to get from this experience the idea of collaboration, of people coming together with the same like mind and working together to make something great.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Yeah. Thanks.
I said before, quality content, smart writing, excellent actors, Brooklyn Blue Sky.
I think it's really important for people to watch Brooklyn Blue Sky, because what you think you're going to see is completely, like, just throw it out of your mind.
Mm-hmm.
The characters that they have created, that they've cultivated, is not your stereotypical characters that you see when it comes to other programming that is created to and tailored to Black people.
Mm-hmm.
Dewey and Raven was very particular about creating characters that were anti that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it makes it so beautiful, where people can really relate to these characters, because there is addiction with Blue's character.
Right.
There is a disease within Skylar's character.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's addiction with Skylar as well.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the moments where people in their aspects, they can say, oh my goodness, that's me.
Right.
That is me, or that's someone I know.
Right.
And now hearing a story that needs to be told, because it happens to us. Mm-hmm. And it's not just in other cultures. It's not just in other races. We go through alcoholism.
Mm-hmm.
We go through cancer. We go through adoption. We go through hurt. We go through pain outside of the stereotypical, you know, maids and mammies.
Selling drugs.
Right. Yeah.
We're
very much alive as well in Brooklyn.
Yes.
Absolutely.
So that was great.
Yes.
So when we come back, we're going to talk to Dewey about his new project, King Esther.
You'll get that in audio.
You know what? Let me tell you something. Seriously? If I didn't mess up, then it wouldn't be my show. I mess up every week, you know? So it's like, it's a name, it's a type, whatever. I'm messing up. So when we'll be right back, we're going to say goodbye to the Brooklyn Blue Sky cast, and then we're going to bring in the King Esther cast, and we're going to talk about that, and then we're going to finalize. So I'll be right back.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you a curious person, always asking questions? Do you desire to be in the know? I'm your host, Antonia, of the show So Now You Know. Join me as I attempt to satisfy your curiosity. Listen live Tuesday nights from 8 to 9 p.m. weekly at talkradio.nyc.
If you have an interest in marijuana, you want to know about marijuana, law, policy, and culture, then feel free to join me, Joseph A. Bondi, every Friday at 11 o'clock in the morning on my show, In the Know 420 on TalkingAlternative.com.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Hi, so this is Noreen Sumter from Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way. And we're here in the studio with Dewey Jarrett.
Yes.
And we are now talking about his brand new project, King Esther. And the synopsis of King Esther is a transgender woman in fights to get out of New Orleans as the Hurricane Katrina heads to town. And these are the producers, and we want to look at, they're going to show and tell us about the genesis of how this project got created. Okay, so Dewey, can you introduce the team?
Yes, of course I can introduce the team. So right next to me is Patrick Ryan Morris, who is the producer and DP of the project. Sheena Suarez, who is the production manager for the project, and our executive producer, Caroline Robinson.
Caroline. So, hi, guys.
Hello.
Really? Seriously? Oh, it's right there. You know, sometimes I have to write. I'm very tactile. I'm tactile.
It's all good.
Right?
It's all
you
good.
Know, it's the left hand.
I'm a lefty, too.
You are? Then we're special. So can you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about yourself so that we can just get a sense of who you are, what you're about, and what makes you do what you do?
That's right.
Sure. My name is Patrick. Sheena's my wife, actually. Uh-huh. We started our own production company, Dataless Moving Pictures. Uh-huh. And we met working on Brooklyn Blue Sky, which I also shot. Uh-huh. We produced.
So you're the camera guy?
Yes.
Awesome.
Yes.
So you get to do all those like little filters and all the colors.
Because the colors
were really great in Brooklyn Blue Sky, but we're talking about King Esther.
Okay.
Yeah, it was good.
But yeah, no, it was a great experience. We're trying to take, you know, and Dewey introduced the script and we said, do you guys want to be involved with this? And we said, absolutely. We basically were reading the scripts as he was writing them, so we didn't even see the whole big picture, but we trusted that he had a big picture in mind.
Cool. Yeah. Sheena?
So, like Patrick said, I'm his partner and wife, and that is always very interesting on set. But we managed to make it work. Mm-hmm. And I remember a little over a year ago, Patrick was introduced to Dewey's project, Brooklyn Blue Sky. And it was super last minute. I think it was like the week before production was supposed to start. And I had been booked for other things, and Pat had already started the project. I came on set the last day, and I was like, babe, you know you're going to edit this, right? And so he had no plans of editing this series at all. He just wanted to shoot something finally and just kind of let it go. But the work was amazing, the writing was amazing, the acting was incredible, and I just couldn't trust another editor to take what was captured and create something as beautiful as I know Patrick could and did
so
do.
You could feel it.
So I felt it, yeah. And I'm so glad that I was able to make it on set that last day, because Dewey and I met and I was like, Dewey, we're here for you. This is going to happen.
From the jump. From the beginning. Yep.
Cool. Thank you. Madame?
Hi, my name is Caroline, and I have a background in marketing, and I've been working on a bunch of big brands, and most recently in film and TV. Mm-hmm. And on the side, I've actually been producing films since 2011. Mm-hmm. And I ventured out on my own and wrote and directed a film and ran it through the film circuit last summer, and this is where Dewey and I met. Mm-hmm. On the film circuit, he hurt my feelings.
Oh.
The
first time I met. It wasn't about a work.
Yeah, it wasn't about my work.
It wasn't about the work.
but we really hit it off. Yes. And he told me about this project, and I wanted to work with him before I even read it.
Uh-huh. What was it about him that had you want to work with him? Because it's important, because many of us live in the world. I'm a life coach, and many of us live in the world of something has to be specific, has to be concrete, right? Wanting to work with somebody is not concrete. It's a feeling. It's a thought. There's something that pulls at you. So I want to know, what was that thing?
There was something about his energy. Mm-hmm. We bonded on talking about content. Mm-hmm. I think both of us are left brain, right brain, mm-hmm. a little bit, in that we appreciate the creative side, but we also talked a lot about the business. Mm-hmm. And I saw Brooklyn Blue Sky. It was so amazing to me. Mm-hmm. And I felt like I needed to help bring this story to life.
Okay.
I felt very vested in this story. Uh-huh. So that's how it went down.
Feels to me, it's almost like you had to help him birth it.
Yes. If you read it now, do yourself a favor if you haven't done so and read some of his work. It's very vivid. Uh-huh. Like you can smell it. You can feel the texture of the fabrics. You can see New Orleans and King Esther. It's extraordinarily vivid work. Uh-huh. You feel the pain, uh-huh. right? You feel the happiness. It's outstanding. Second of all, there's such an opportunity for more nuanced stories uh-huh. that need to be told. Uh-huh. And finally, you're a life coach. There's some universal insights in King Esther. Have you ever felt like you wanted to be something where you feel like there's all these constraints mm-hmm. and you're not allowed to be fully actualized, and you're fighting and you're pursuing this passion? The story of King Esther is a specific story, but it's a universal story. Awesome. And I think it will impact a lot of people.
Cool. Awesome. Great. So now you're talking about, tell us a little bit about King Esther.
So, King Esther, yeah, it started off, it originated as a play
right.
that I had written, and I had done a couple of readings for it. And a lot of people talked to me about the transgender character Esther, mm-hmm. and they were like, you kind of missing some things with it. And so really it began as an exercise for me to construct more work and tell a story that wasn't mine. Mm-hmm. But after Patrick and Sheena read the initial two scripts that I sent them, Sheena said this, she said, this is next for you. And I was like, what? Like, I didn't want to do this. I was really committed to Brooklyn Blue Sky, which I still am. But that's what I thought I was going to continue that journey. And then I got really afraid because, right. And this is what we're talking about on your show, beyond potential. Because right. you have to go beyond what you think you're capable of
Absolutely.
Doing. And I didn't think that I could write a story. And I think I was entitled enough to write a story about a transgender woman uh-huh. Living in poverty in New Orleans when that really wasn't my story. Uh-huh. And so it was a real challenge. And then also Patrick and Sheena have a very nuanced view of work. They're much more subtle in how they tell stories than I've been in the past. So it was also a challenge. I was challenged emotionally to create something that they would want to celebrate and shoot.
Right.
And so I had both of those two things working against me. So I was afraid to tell the story, and I was afraid to send the story to these two. But
were you afraid of being judged? What were you afraid of?
No, it had nothing to do with judgment. Patrick doesn't give compliments at all.
Wow.
And so he says, if I don't have a comment, it's great.
Okay.
And so
that is a compliment.
See? And so I sent it to him. He said, keep writing it. Awesome. Just that simple. And I did.
So what popped into my head just now as you were speaking, you said, you know, you didn't have, it wasn't really your story to tell. What I got from myself, what if it were channeled? What if it was a story for you to tell that came through you? You know, to tell this, what if King Esther is an actual entity? You know, I'm pulling for straws and stuff, but you talked about the texture and the nuances and all these experiences.
But I feel like that's everyone who's on this team, that's how we feel about this. It's like she already exists.
Mm-hmm.
It's by virtue of the fact that he wrote her, and she's so complex and dimensional that she already exists. Like, it's now like we now have bear a responsibility to help bring her into being.
Right.
Because she already exists, and we want to have the world respond to her the same way we responded to her when we read the script.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so a quick question, just another one just popped into my head, which is for a transgender woman to watch this show, what would you like her to experience?
I think what we would want a transgender woman to experience is to relate to a character and see what this character is going through, and just feel that they're not alone in what they have gone through, and you know, they're early on growing up, just their whole experience in transitioning, or just deciding whether or not to transition, or you know, just another character. Or a character that is out there that they can relate to.
Okay.
And that's a character that we don't really see on, you know, networks or, you know, other shows really. It's not celebrated as much.
And that's the word that, not to cut you off, but that's the word we want to celebrate.
Okay.
We want to let these women know that we see you.
Right.
We see you and we respect you and we honor your journey.
Uh-huh.
And while we're not on their journey, we've all taken extreme care and caution in how we approach this journey.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're consulting with some transgender organizations, both locally and nationally. But in a couple of weeks, I'm going to start going to some trans meetup groups.
Mm-hmm.
We think we found the actress. We still have to go through the process of, you know, negotiations and such. But we've been very sensitive about the project, because we recognize telling the story is not just about her, it's about even us and our approach to telling that story. So we're trying to be sensitive and unique and honor her in a truthful way without offending anyone in the process. But that's going to be, I mean, essentially impossible, because everybody's offended.
Right. That's the word that encapsulated for me, is to honor the transgender person, and being mindful that I didn't call her, you know, like there's a whole different way that one has to, I'm just saying, twist your mouth,
right,
transform everything so that it all falls into, because it's not a common conversation, it's not a common language, even though it's been here a long time, it's now getting its space in the world, and you're giving it a voice and some vision.
But really quickly, but they're really beautifully human. So you don't have to, even I thought that they would be so nervous about if we said, you know, she or he, and it's not that deep. They understand the, you know, even the journey of people who haven't walked in their shoes. So they're willing to inform, they're willing to educate, they're willing to discuss if we're open to them.
Mm-hmm.
And especially in New Orleans, the Black community has not been that open to them. I mean, just last year, there were two very violent murders of two transgender women unnecessarily provoked. Caroline sent us the article the other day. The average life expectancy for a transgender African American woman is 35 years old.
Wow.
That's a crisis. you know? And while we cannot directly affect that, you know, through legislation or anything like that, we can affect it through activism right. and telling a story that
light.
They can participate in others. We can show their humanity.
Right.
And we know it's not going to necessarily be celebrated by all. I know people are going to question whether or not we are the ones that are capable of telling this story,
mm-hmm.
but this is what we have. This is what we believe in, and we're going to honor it the best we can.
And I feel your passion about that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I feel your commitment. So we'll be right back in a few seconds.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you feeling unhappy with your body, shape, or size? Ever feel out of control with food? I'm Elizabeth from Nourish the Soul, and on this show, you will uncover the root to these imbalances and discover a permanent solution to having a healthy relationship to food and your body. Join us every Thursday morning at 11 a.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
Are you into comics, movies, and pop culture at large? What about music and TV? Then you're in for a treat. This is Michael Dolce, your host on TalkingAlternative.com. I've been professionally writing comic books, screenplays, and music articles for almost 15 years. Catch my show, Secrets of the Sire, at its new primetime slot, Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and get the inside scoop on the pop culture universe you love to talk about. For more info, go to SecretsOfTheSire.com.
TalkingAlternative.com.
Hi, this is Noreen Sumter from Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, and we're back with the cast of King Esther. And so we're in the final segment of the show. Excuse me, I have to cough. And so stupid. And so I would like to, you know, give these guys the floor as writers and artists and producers and people, thought leaders, actually. You're like creating yourself as thought leaders, as activists, taking a stand and, you know, putting your art into society and what's going on and creating your voice so that people can hear it and have opinions. I just want to know, how do you feel about what's going on in our country at this moment with, I mean, I'm just giving an example with the H&M thing.
Well, I thought it was actually very apropos for the experience that I'm having now, because there were so many nerves on the front end about telling this story, because I do recognize Black Twitter don't play.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that
Black Twitter don't play.
The trolls don't play. So when you step out from, you are going to have a lot of criticism. But I think the problem that probably happened with the situation, like H&M, and there's been others, I mean, the Me Too is not that far from that as well, is that there's never there's never people of that culture that's helping to guide and inform the decisions of how these things are actually done.
Mm-hmm.
And so for us to just do it ourselves is one thing, but we have taken so much care by bringing other trans people. We brought in consultants. You know, I've talked to personally educators who work mm-hmm. as trans educators. We brought them into the process.
Mm-hmm.
So we haven't done this on our own. So we're honoring it.
So what would you call that? I mean, what was missing with the H&M people is diversity or voice. So you call it perspective.
Perspective.
Okay.
Perspective. Great. When you're not telling a story that's your own, you do need some perspective to catch some of the nuances, because
mm-hmm.
you're not going to be able to catch them, because I'm not a trans woman. I don't know how she would feel. I don't know how she would truly respond.
Right.
My lens was through a cisgender male's perspective, but that's not always going to be the same. Just
right.
like women and men aren't the same. Aren't going to respond to things the same. So you need somewhere there to speak to that truth.
Right. And, you know, it's funny you should mention that word cisgender,
because mm-hmm.
I had no idea or concept of what that was until just recently, and I don't fully have a full grasp of what it is. But so cisgender is somebody, I'm a cis woman, yes. Right? So I am a woman who is a woman who displays as a woman,
yes,
so to speak. Okay.
The reason why the community decided to add the cisgender is because there was a transgender added to their gender. Right. So they say they're a woman and you go, no, you're a transgender woman. They're like, OK, well, you're a cisgendered woman.
So what does the cis stand for? Literally,
I don't know the
acronym,
the literal
translation.
Definition of it. But it is to say you are the gender that you were born and they are the gender that they weren't born. So it was just them adding a title into the front of our gender since we had done that to them instead of just recognizing them for the women that they were.
Oh, OK. All right. That's clear. This is a lot clearer for me. Mm-hmm. So any concerns that you have with what's going on in you're an artist, and any concerns, anything that you'd like to shed a light on, or in your case, a camera?
Well, I mean, I think as artists, you have a responsibility in any time, regardless of what the political situation is. I think we have a very specific political situation that we're all sort of contending with. And the last thing you can do is sort of retreat and not engage. And you have to create work that speaks to our times. And I think that's what we, as artists are trying to do, is shine a light in a place where to a voice that is not being heard properly,
right.
And is sort of being sort of vilified or create a shift of dimension in the political debate, and sort of saying, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to allow this person to breathe and be a fully complex human being. And I think that doesn't sound overly political, but I think it's very political. And I think it's the strongest thing that, it's the only thing we know how to do right now.
It's what's going to be left behind. It's like, you guys, artists, are the writings on the walls of the cave. Your work is the writings on the wall of the cave.
Sure.
Once we,
well, and the key thing is, to humanize someone is to also to allow it so that it's very specific. Her story is very specific. Mm-hmm. You know, a trans woman of color in a specific time and place, and the specificity is there. But it's also universal enough. Her struggle is still universal. We've all struggled to be heard. Mm-hmm. We've all felt like to be our authentic selves is not always celebrated by the world, and she isn't celebrated for it. And that's the key to her struggle. She does it anyway because that's all she knows how to do, because that's who she is.
Right.
She doesn't have a choice. There's no option for her. So to shine a light on that and show how powerful that is, I think even people who don't walk in those particular shoes will still understand her, and you know, through the same struggles they have themselves.
Right. Let me just ask a quick question here. So a transgender black woman, the average lifespan, you said, is 35 years, right?
Yes.
What is it for a transgender white guy? Whoa, man.
I didn't do the research on that. I remember reading the article, but the article was very specific, I think, to the African American trans community.
The average lifespan is definitely shorter for a transgender black woman than her white counterpart.
And what do you know what it, I'm thinking, if it's short for a transgender black woman in America, what is it like for a transgender black woman outside of America?
I mean, that's a great question. I don't think we've researched internationally, but I think this decision it has got to be universally difficult on a global scale.
Right.
This country is a little bit more free. I did watch several documentaries before I was able to finish the scripts, and especially go to a lot of the African countries. Mm-hmm. And a lot of this is just really governed by religion and how strict the religions are in each of these countries. And so when you get over to the West African countries, it's a little bit more accepted. But the West African countries, the East African countries are very violent towards it. So it is a little bit easier because you have safe havens like a New York, like a San Francisco, like an LA, that there's a more openness, but there's still violence. There's still looks. They're still made to be othered. And that's the interesting thing that we had talked to DJ about. Well, the actress that we're auditioning about the other day was the thing that's so unique is that she's not this gorgeous glamazon of a trans woman. She's a trans woman that you could readily, easily see she's transgender.
Right.
You can see it. And so
I grew up with that, lived at the top of my street when I was growing up.
Yeah. They face a whole different kind of challenge than a Laverne Cox or a Janet Mock, who's beautiful and gorgeous and soft, where you have to know in order to know.
Right.
And so we wanted to tell a much, much different narrative that's out there about the trans narrative.
That's good, because I'm glad that you're just using a guy that turns into a woman as opposed to this beautiful soft guy, that it's easier for him to make that transition. Because the realness of it is that it's probably just an average guy who, not an average guy, but like an average looking guy that might want to transform.
Yes, but more than that, it's a woman that doesn't have the economic and the ecosystem that allows her to be who she is. Mm-hmm. Because even if you look at other communities, the white community we were talking about earlier, whether she's noticeably trans or not, there's still a level of love and care that those women get, mm-hmm. where they're able to be supported and just be themselves. Mm-hmm. In the environment that she lives in, Esther doesn't get that opportunity.
Got it. All right, so we've got like a couple more minutes to the end of the show. Is there anything that you'd like to promote or share with people, you know, before we leave?
We really just want you to stay tuned and stay vigilant, much beyond the story that we're telling. Mm-hmm. Because if you can find the humanity in Esther, you should be able to find the humanity in everyone.
Absolutely.
Which gets really difficult sometimes, especially like Patrick was saying, was the political climate that we're currently living in now seeks to consistently dehumanize people that are other, mm-hmm. or that are different. Mm-hmm. And so I think we should all remain open to have conversations, to have discussions, to look towards others' humanity, because, you know, we're really active in telling not just this story, but more stories later on down the line.
Right. So, guys, I would like to thank you so much.
Thank you.
Both camps, King Esther and Brooklyn Blue Sky, and I will be watching and sharing. And I just want to tell you, like, I'm so grateful for you to come on this show, and I'm just so proud of you that you are pursuing your dreams. And it's 6 years ago that we met, and I'm really excited about it, and I love that. And I see big things for you guys. I see massive things for you guys. So I just want to thank you again for coming on the show. And people out there, I just want you to listen and watch out for Dewey Jared. I mean, it's a very, it's not a common name. It's not a common guy either. So I just want to thank you for tuning in to Noreen Sumter, Beyond Potential, Live Like Life Your Way. And I'll see you next week as we speak to somebody new and somebody exciting. So good night and see you next week.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you feeling unhappy with your body, shape, or size? Ever feel out of control with food? I'm Elizabeth from Nourish the Soul, and on this show, you will uncover the root to these imbalances and discover a permanent solution to having a healthy relationship to food and your body. Join us every Thursday morning at 11 a.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a curious person, always asking questions? Do you desire to be in the know? I'm your host, Antonia, of the show So Now You Know. Join me as I attempt to satisfy your curiosity. Listen live Tuesday nights from 8 to 9 p.m. weekly at talkradio.nyc.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
Are you into comics, movies, and pop culture at large? What about music and TV? Then you're in for a treat. This is Michael Dolce, your host on TalkingAlternative.com. I've been professionally writing comic books, screenplays, and music articles for almost 15 years. Catch my show, Secrets of the Sire, at its new primetime slot, Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and get the inside scoop on the pop culture universe you love to talk about. For more info, go to secretsofthesire.com.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.